It's been a little while since I've been up here. Last time was with Noah. This time it's with Grandmother Lois and sister and Mother Eunice, and that's in 1 Timothy. Oh, excuse me, not 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. And I find this an interesting subject because Lois, the grandmother, and Eunice, the mother, that's the only verse where they're mentioned. So that means there's a lot of fill-in here. But I find it interesting because Timothy, of which 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy letters are based on, Timothy himself was brought up by his grandmother Lois and mother Eunice. And Paul the Apostle gives them high regard. Grandmother Lois, mother Eunice, are known by Paul for their unfeigned faith. Looking that up, that means a genuine faith, not a put-on one, not something you just go through life and just say, okay, well, all right, I believe this because it's been taught me before, but I can go on with what I'm doing with my life. Now, why is it mentioning these two regarding Timothy? Because Timothy is a result of these two women. Well, the unfeigned faith that we know about is what's reflected in Hebrews 11. That without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, or steadily apply themselves to seek Him. These apparently are what Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice, who taught Timothy, were noted for. But was faith just enough by itself? Was it just that they believed what was taught them before, and they just sort of gave it to Timothy and said, okay, go on from there? Or was there something more to it? Well, we just got finished with the readings in James chapter 2 yesterday. And one of the things that it says in there is that, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Now, what does it mean by that? What does it mean by the works that follow faith? How is this notoriety, so to speak, towards Grandmother Lois and Sister Eunice? Well, it's interesting when we think about the women in Scripture. A few things come to my mind. One that stuck with me quite a bit was, you talk about works and going through something. Remember when Christ died? It was the women that knew what was happening. So the apostles didn't have a clue. They were at the tomb. They were the ones who saw Jesus first. In James, we talk about, James talks about Rahab, you know, during the time of Jericho. You see, the grandmother Lois and sister Eunice didn't have New Testaments in their back pocket. They had the Scriptures, which they were brought up with, what we consider today as the Old Testament. So they would know about Jericho in particular, when Joshua brought the children of Israel into Jericho on the other side of the River Jordan, and how the spies were sent out, and Rahab the harlot was justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them away without harm. That was her works that was noted for her, for faith. And so it says also in James 2:26, it says, "For as the body without the spirit," or without the breath, "is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And we're told in 1 Timothy 5:10 that those that taught the children were well reported of for good works. She brought up children, she lodged strangers, she washed the saints' feet, she relieved the afflicted, and she diligently followed every good work. So, Timothy was trained up as a child in the way in which he should go, and as we see in Scripture, he didn't depart from that way. He held out steadfast to the end with it. And that's in Proverbs 22:6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it." And we know that this had a real strong effect on Timothy, because it's written in 2 Timothy 3:15, "From a child thou hast known the Scriptures, holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So Eunice, the mother, and grandmother Lois taught him these things diligently. In fact, not only would they have just talked about them sitting in their house, but when they walked by the way, and when they lied down, and when they rose up. And that's in Deuteronomy 6 and 7. And also, it's repeated in another interesting way in Deuteronomy 11, 19. "Ye shall teach them your children, speak of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." Two times. Also, these sisters would apparently, through the character that they have towards the truth, they showed themselves a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. So, what is it then about the doctrine? We know today in the workplaces and in the media and all this other, and some of these churches talk about doctrine's not important and all this. And here in the Scripture it says doctrine is important. You can't just live on love. First, you have to have a good definition for love. That always helps. But no, what it was that these two people, two ladies, knew about the God of Israel. They knew in Deuteronomy 6:4 when it said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." They knew these things. Eunice was dependent upon her mother to teach these things to her. And she, of course, taught them to Timothy. They were taught that they were to have sound speech, which cannot be condemned, that he that's of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of them. Now, you talk about a challenge. Now, here you have a challenge. In Acts 16:1, Paul the Apostle came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, okay, the son of a certain woman. There's no guesswork on this. It's Eunice, right? Which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, you talk about some differing things that happened. You know what happened in the Old Testament when someone married, you know, the foreigners and all, after them coming back from Babylon and all, Nehemiah had a situation with them. Ezra had a situation with it. Frankly, tore the people's hair out and everything else. Because they married strange wives or husbands or whatever. That was how severe it was. And here we have a situation where a Jewess married a Greek. We have no evidence. I wouldn't say it's unknowable, because I'm sure we may find it somewhere or another in the scriptures. It's possible that whether he knew very much at all. I think the point was that even in being in the situation she was in, she did not give up the truth. She held steadfast to it. She kept in contact with her mother. Her mother taught her. She taught Timothy. Or they both taught Timothy. But they held out steadfast. They were to teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands, to love their children. And they were to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God would not be blasphemed. So, you talk about a situation, but in James 1 it says, of his own will begat he us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. They held out steadfast to the things of the truth. But there had to be problems, and apparently they were, and they were settled by Paul the Apostle, and apparently they saw this through. And that's in 1 Corinthians 7:13 about the woman that hath a husband that believeth not. Well, apparently that's what the circumcised, the uncircumcised Greek that she married, right? Okay. It says, if a woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So she was to obey her husband, as long as it didn't go against the commands of Christ. And what was the benefit of them being together? It's an interesting thing, because we're told in 1 Corinthians 7:14, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children are unclean. But now are they holy. The truth kept them together, and they were won over. Hopefully, the Greek husband was won over by the behavior of the wife, who obeyed in all things, except held steadfast to what the word was. He that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. These things come to our mind, don't they? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, Timothy could have, when he left home, said, well, that was good. I was glad that I learned all that. But even he was taught to continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that's what Timothy benefited from with his grandmother Lois and his sister, his mother Eunice, excuse me. And he learned that this is in Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget those things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart in all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Can you see where Grandmother Lois, sister and mother Eunice would take that to heart, that they would not forget these things which was taught them for their youth also. But they would, and Timothy would learn this likewise. We're seeing more into the character of these two sisters and what they would pass on in anything they did. And they would be heartened by what was said to Ruth, the Moabitess. We remember Ruth, the Moabitess, don't we? Remember? Ruth and her sister, both husbands died, Mahlon and Chilion, in the land of Moab, when there was a famine going through Israel. And when Naomi decided to go back to Israel, she just practically almost wanted to just push them away and say, okay, go back to and find some husbands among your own people. Well, one of them went off, but Ruth clave and said, whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. My people will be thy people, and thy God, my God. That was the strength of what Naomi taught. And this is one of the examples that you could probably see that both Lois and Eunice would read or hear read in the synagogue, possibly from Sabbath to Sabbath. And they would be heartened by, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's said about Ruth, but those things were written for their learning, that they, through comfort of the scriptures, would have hope, that they could hold out steadfast with this. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them, him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Whatever they sowed is what they reaped. If they sowed to the flesh, they would have of the flesh reaped corruption. But if they sowed to the Spirit, they sowed everlasting. Never underestimate the power of a spiritual mother of Israel that can bring up a child in the way that it should go, that when it's old, it would not depart from it. So whereby is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. They kept their eyes completely on what they were taught. They knew that the word of God was quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Timothy, which he possibly learned from his mother and his grandmother, would also know that God would look, that he would command his children and his household after him, that they would keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord would bring upon him of which he had spoken to him. He would believe what about the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through his mother and grandmother. He would know that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And when we read also in James chapter 2 about Abraham said that not only did he believe, but by faith he brought up, though he was brought up a son in his old age. Actually, let's go to Hebrews 11 for that. By faith, Abraham offered up his son and believed that he would receive him in a resurrection. I have no doubt in my mind that also Lois and Eunice would know this likewise. Because Paul, the apostle, didn't just say, okay, I think they just know just a couple of things. So I really, I don't picture Paul that way, because Paul talked the whole counsel of God and what he did. Timothy was circumcised of the heart eventually. Just like we heard in our exhortation today about the idea of circumcision of the heart. But apparently the influence of the father, he kept from being circumcised. Whether his father made him do it or whether it was the influence of it, that's what happened. And Paul the apostle took him under his wing as a son, and he had Timothy circumcised to hold off, to wean people off of circumcision eventually. But they didn't want, at that time, chaos, in that situation. So even with that situation, Timothy had a good background. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children, that we may do all the words of this law. Any questions or comments at this point? Yes.
Do you think that by circumcising him then, that it would be kind of a sign, if his father was still alive, that he was becoming Jewish and not part of his father, that, he was committed, and that his father wouldn't be able to have any more influence on him? Interesting that he did get circumcised at that age.
That is an interesting question. Did you all hear what she said, right? Yeah. That the influence, being weaned away from the loving father more than me, he that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He would have that to contend with, wouldn't he? And that's one of the possibilities, I believe, that could come into play with that situation. How many things we have this day that can steer us away from the things of the truth. So many. When they say knowledge shall be increased, it seems like the garbage gets increased with it. You know, when we think of all the things, you know, that have improved over the years, along with the improving, has become more showing the immaturity of man to control anything. You know, but the Word of God is pure. And they would, Lois and Eunice would know that they would have to look to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. You know? The things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life are only for this age. Only what's done for Christ will last. Unless somebody has anything further. That's about as much as I could get out of Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice. And so I thank you for all of your time. And thank you also for the contributing comments.